This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Manuel Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Christmas Lights.
I don't know how many radio programs that you'll be listening to over public radio will actually have the kind of a situation that I encountered the other day. I want to tell you that the other day, Sue and I went to visit Evelyn Holcomb. Evelyn Holcomb just became 102 years old. She's probably the oldest listener to our radio program. But she also has a wonderful friend named Vicky Zeng, who is her caretaker. And the reason I want this to go on the radio is because every Sunday they listen to our radio program. So I just want to send out a hello and a Merry Christmas and blessings to you, Evelyn, and to Vicky. God be with you this morning as you listen. And thank you so much for listening to our program. I want to talk to you about Christmas lights this morning. You say, Pastor, what's this going to be about? Well, just about everywhere you go right now, there are lights all over the place. It used to be, coming out of New York, when we first got here to Hunterdon County, there weren't too many lights around. Like most people would have a few candle lights for Christmas. But all of a sudden, I think you guys got New York fever. Because there's lights everywhere now. It looks almost like Brooklyn. I said almost. Because you can't top 14th Avenue in Diker Heights, which gets on television every year for the profusion of light. I think those people must spend in the 2 weeks the lights are on over $10,000 just in an electric bill. So I want to talk to you about lights this morning. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 says this, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." We say that word light so easily it almost slips off our tongue. Sometimes we don't even realize what light is all about. We say that light is the absence of darkness. Sometimes we turn on the lights and we think that's it. We take for granted what we've got here in this country. Just turning on that switch 24 hours a day and being able to have light is a wonder. A lot of countries around the world don't have that. They only have electricity for a few hours a day. So be blessed every time you turn on that switch. The Greek word for light is phos, F-H-O-S, up there on the board. It means things like phosphorus and photo. Here's what they call the simple definition of light given in a physics textbook. It's called electromagnetic radiation that has the wavelength in the range from 3,900 to about 7,700 angstroms. What's an angstrom? It's a unit of length equal, get ready, to 100 millionth of 0.937 of an inch. And that may be perceived by the unaided human eye. You got that? Hang on to it because I'm going to ask questions later. Okay, light is necessary to sustain life. Without light, without the light of the sun, there would be neither plant nor animal nor human life on this planet. We couldn't exist without light. If you deprive somebody of their light, it is a form of torture. Life deprivation causes depression, anxiety, and fear. It was something used by the Japanese and the Germans regularly. Paul experienced it when he was thrown into the lowest part of prison. He was getting light deprivation. Among all the other tortures that you're getting, this is just one more piled on top where you can't even see your own hand in front of your face. The incandescent lights that we turn on, and more of those are disappearing, the incandescent light that we turn on and take for granted again was literally the result of thousands of failed experiments by one of the world's greatest inventors. His name was Thomas Edison. Emotionally, we associate light with home, warmth, romance, and celebration. Isn't it nice to drive home in the dark in these late night hours that we have to come home from work from and see the lights of home? Isn't it wonderful to see a light in the window of home? I know when I used to travel on business to Brooklyn every day or around the country, it was great to come home at night and see the home lit up. The Jews around the world celebrate Hanukkah at this time of the year. It's also called the Festival of Life. And light. It comes from a Maccabean account of the temple, which lights in the temple were fired by oil. Well, here was the miracle of the lights. There was only enough oil in the lamps to keep those lights going one day. But they lasted for 8 days, and that's why you see a menorah with the 8 candles on it. Amazing. Actually, there's 9. Christmas around the world illuminates homes, trees, fences, town squares, and city streets with a joyful profusion of colors, lights as simple as a single candle in the window or as elaborate as those found at Rockefeller Center. So this morning, what I'd like to do with you is see in our lesson that lights, the lights of Christmas, may also be understood to symbolize 4 things: God, the Bible, Jesus Christ, and the believer. And let me go through that with you. Number one, light is descriptive of God's nature. Here's what 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says: God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In the literal, physical, natural, and mathematical sense of light, Creator God's light is pure energy. Think about the power of God's light. It's a power so great that all the suns of the universe combined could not be as powerful as it. When his light or his glory was revealed on earth, even in its limited potency, the power was so great that people couldn't look upon it. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24, verses 15 to 17. It's up here on PowerPoint. Exodus 24, 15 to 17. Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the 7th day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Such a bright and powerful light, they couldn't look upon it. They didn't even want to look up there. It was so powerful. And then if you go with me to Exodus 33, and you read verses 18, 20 to 22. And he said, that's the Lord, thou canst not see my, And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That's what Moses said. Verse 20. And God said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. My presence, the very presence of God, is so strong, so powerful, that if Moses was to look upon that presence, he'd be blinded and maybe even burned to a crisp. That's just a portion of God's power, which when he came to earth that way limited the strength of his light. In 1 Timothy, Paul describes God's glorious light as that which no man can approach or look upon, so powerful that it will last forever. In contrast, the Bible says, and science tells us, that this planet is growing older every single year. The planet is growing older, and as time goes on, even the sun will not be able to warm this planet. It's going to need another source of light in the distant future to illuminate the planet. In Revelation 21, describes the future earth as a city on a hill, and look what it says. In Revelation 21, 23, and the city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, Christ, is the light thereof. And verse 25 continues to say, and there is no night there. When we get to heaven, and when we can come back and visit this planet, we're going to find out that God's the one that's keeping the lights on. Praise the Lord. Number two, light is descriptive of the Bible. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this: thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So think about this. In 2,000 years ago, there were paths. There were paths that people had to walk on, but there were no street lights. So they did a very interesting thing. They developed a shoe. I'd like to be the guy who invented that. I wonder how much he made on it. He invented a sandal that had a little box on it that you could put a candle in. And as you walked along on a dark path, that candle will light your way step by step so you wouldn't trip into a hole or fall over on a branch or anything like that. They went from place to place in safety because of the lamp that was on their foot. Our spiritual journey begins in spiritual darkness. Before you ever come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't even think you need him. Just think of some of your friends who basically reject God, who reject Christ, who reject the Bible, who reject the very idea of coming to a place like this on a Sunday morning. They have the sense that everything is all right. And the reason they have the sense that everything is all right is because they're in spiritual darkness. They don't realize that their life needs God. We don't realize what we're missing. Have you ever experienced something that was so much fun and then all of a sudden you lost it and you said, you know what? I never really knew what I had until I lost it. Well, I'll put it this way. People don't really know what they have in God until they find Him. And if you don't know Him today would be a good day to find the light of Jesus Christ in your life. When we come to know Jesus Christ personally, our spiritual birth takes place, and then we must learn to navigate the maze of ideas, philosophies, misperceptions, misconceptions, lies, and errors which would inhibit our growth and keep us in darkness. Once we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then the next step is to get to know more about Him through God's Word. The next step is to be a person who wants to be a lifelong learner in the things of God by studying His book, the Bible. It's the Bible which reveals God's truth to us. All we know about God is in the Bible. We don't know a lot about God because of some professor. We don't know a lot about God because of some pastor. We know a lot about God. We know what we know about God because of His Word. And the only time preaching works is when we reveal God through His Word. This is our authority. There is no church who is our authority. There is no educator who is our authority. There is no authority that is our authority but the book, the Bible. And so it's the Bible that we preach, and it's the Bible that changes lives. All we know about salvation is what we find in the Bible. All we know about what it means to be a Christian comes out of the Bible. And the Bible gives us light to travel through a very dark world. So if you don't understand things about what's going on around about you in this world, if you don't understand where evil comes from, if you don't understand what it means to counteract evil with good, you need to get into God's Word. You need to meet the Savior, first of all. Romans 3:12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Number three, Christmas lights symbolize the birth of Jesus Christ. John 3:19, "The light is come into the world." God says in Luke 17:9 that He sent Christ into the world, quote, "to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So think about this. Before Christ came into your life, you were spiritually dead and spiritually in darkness. Before Christ came into your life, you were without God and alone in the universe. You think that you're surrounded by people, and because you're surrounded by people, you're not lonely. I've known and I've spoke to many people who, despite the fact that they had a family, despite the fact that they had many friends, they would tell me, "I'm very lonely." The only way to combat loneliness is to know that Jesus is never going to leave you alone. That even though you may not have a lot of people in your life at a particular moment, even though you may not have company over that day, that you're not alone. When you go through your most difficult situations in life and your most difficult circumstances, and you feel like you got to face these all alone, you don't. Number one, you've got God with you. Number two, if you're a part of a church like ours, you have the church folks with you. Now, by a show of hands, how many people in this congregation have gone through difficult times and had brothers and sisters in this congregation come along and pray with you and stand beside you? Let me see. Everybody. And I don't think you're just blowing smoke up my nose. You know, I could close my eyes and have you do it again. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you, when you felt you were alone in your circumstance, that somebody came alongside and brought you words of encouragement, and that's exactly the way God planned it. Before Christ entered into your life, sin and self were in control. All of that changed when you asked Christ to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart, and you began to follow Him. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." If you listen to that verse, you see the deity of Christ revealed. Remember what we read in Exodus? It said there in those verses, God's glory, His light, energy, and power could not be approached or looked upon because we couldn't handle it, like we couldn't handle something radioactive. We couldn't possibly be in the presence of God in His spirit and His glorious body. All of that has been put into a human form, in the form of the person of Jesus Christ. So the God we couldn't see becomes the God we can see, Jesus. God the Father, who we couldn't touch, became God the Son, whom we could touch. What a wonderful experience to know that we can handle the Lord Jesus Christ, we can look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the God of the universe became a man. 1 John 1:1 says this, that which was from the beginning, which beginning? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. There are eyewitnesses who have recorded these words in the book of John to let you know that the invisible God became the visible God. The God you couldn't see became the God you could see. The God you couldn't touch or handle became the God you could touch and you could handle. And He's alive and living if you've given your heart and life over to Him. When you turn on Christmas lights, they can be more than decoration. They can be a testimony. John 12:46. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believes on me should not be in darkness. So when you turn on the Christmas lights on your tree this year, think of them as a testimony that the light that's on that tree represents the light of Jesus Christ, and that light is alive and living in you. Number four, the light of Christmas can act as a reminder to the believer that we are the torchbearers of Christ's light. And listen to these words of Jesus and then compare. Take a look at this. John 9:5 says this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now compare that to Matthew 5:14, where Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Now somebody will run to you who doesn't really like God's word, and somebody who's looking for all the places where they can find a contradiction. You say, well, now wait a minute, look at those verses. That's a contradiction. Jesus said He's the light of the world, and now He contradicts Himself and says, you're the light of the world. That's an obvious contradiction in the Bible. Can I tell you something? There are no contradictions in the Bible. Only people who say so. And I've asked many people, you say there's a lot of contradictions in the Bible. Show me three. Habita. All of a sudden, I got Ralph Crandon standing in front of me. Habita. I can't give you three. Okay, give me one. No, I can't give you one. Why not? And here's the answer. Because that person is only repeating what they heard somebody else say, that there's plenty of mistakes and errors and contradictions in the Bible. So why isn't this a contradiction? Because Jesus says, as long as He walked the earth, He exemplified all that was light, all that was wise, all that was a beacon to guide humanity to a personal relationship with God the Father. He says, as long as I'm here, I'm that light. But after He died, and after He rose again, and after He ascended into heaven, those who believe in Him and those who follow have become the lighthouse. While He's absent, we're here. And you are now the light of Jesus Christ to the people around you. I like to think of it as this. You've got light infection. And because you've got light infection, you are contagious. Now, if you came in contact with radioactivity, like what happened over in Japan, when their atomic plants kind of just disintegrated, the people who got it, they got radioactive poisoning. And they couldn't come in contact with anybody. Well, you've got something more powerful than that, and it's not a power of light and energy to destruction. It's a power of light and energy to new life. This is a positive contagion that you've got. This is a powerful and positive infection that you've got. You've got the light of Jesus Christ inside of you. Let it rip. Let it come in contact with the people around you. Let them feel the warmth of the light and the love of Jesus Christ emanating from you. Let them sense in the final analysis that because of you, they have been in contact with the Lord. Matthew 5:16 says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You may be the only Christian that somebody knows. You may be the only Bible that somebody reads. You may be the only visible expression to the people around you of what it means to be a Christian. Let your light shine. Don't be ashamed. So many young people, I mean, I know when I was in high school, I was many times embarrassed to be a Christian, many times embarrassed to carry my Bible. But I got out of that. And I came to the place where I wanted people to know that I am a believer in the living Christ. Christian writer Malcolm Muckeridge was asked, "What do you want most to do with the rest of your life?" And here's how he answered it. "I should like my light to shine, even if very fitfully, like a match struck in a dark, cavernous night, and then flickering out." That's you. When you celebrate Christmas with some members of your family this year who don't know the true account of Jesus' birth, who have never experienced Jesus in their life, you're like a light, even if it's only a match, bringing light into a dark place. Can you visualize that? That if you're the person who knows Jesus Christ at that table, you're the only light there. Can you visualize that at work when you say to yourself, "I think I'm pretty much the only Christian here." When you walk into the lunchroom or you walk into the office, think of yourself as a flashlight. You may be the only one. So don't turn it off and don't blow it out. Let it shine. Paul says it this way in Philippians 2, 13 through 16. "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining, without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." In other words, people love to complain. We are living in such a generation that loves to moan, that loves to complain, that loves to find everything wrong with somebody else. We're living in a very negative culture. There are a lot of negative vibes around. How about we be positive? How about we be light? How about we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us so that people won't hear us moaning and complaining and mishugana and lecha? That we really can see the light of Jesus Christ on our face. You know, when people see that, and when people hear positive things, that attracts them. And Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw people to myself." And how do you do that? In part with a positive attitude. In part with a different attitude about what's going on in your life. Don't murmur. Don't complain. What does this light that you and I live like? Jesus said, "Let your light shine. It's in you, but you have to flip the switch." So think about this. If there's light in your soul, there will be beauty in your person. Because beauty comes from the inside out. I mean, this is going to fade. You know, what's up today will be down tomorrow. You know, what's wrinkleless today will be wrinkled tomorrow. If you've got teeth today, maybe. Mañana, no teeth, man. If there's beauty in the person, there will be harmony in the home. You see, when there's constant complaining and constant fault finding and constant nitpicking, there is unhappiness wherever people go. You come from work where you've been nitpicking your boss and the people around you, and you come into the door and you start nitpicking your spouse, and you start nitpicking your kids, and you start finding all the things that are possibly wrong, wrong with the meal, wrong with the day. Why drag that stuff into the house? Leave it at work. If there's harmony in the home, there will be harmony and order in the nation. The home is a microcosm of life. It's a microcosm of the school. It's a microcosm of the church. If there's anger and bitterness and mean-spiritedness and obscenity and vulgarity and hate speech at home and negativity at home, those young people and those adults will carry that with them wherever they go. You're a Christian. Let's be light. If there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world, and it all begins with Jesus Christ. If there's no Christ, there's no peace. If there's no Jesus, there's no love, there's no joy, there's no happiness, there's no hope. Amen, somebody. When you light the light of Christ's love to shine from your heart, hate, injustice, bigotry, and indifference are driven out. When you let the light of Christ's kindness shine from your heart, you will touch the life of the orphan, the homeless, the hungry, the widow, the stranger, the lost, and the lonely. And my prayer when we go to Trenton on Saturday and we come in contact with all these kids whose parents are in jail and we start to bring them their gifts, that we will touch them with the love of Jesus Christ. When you light the light of Christ's joy to shine from your heart, you will be a cheerleader to the depressed, the grieving, and the discouraged. What are you? Are you a cheerleader? You know, part of being your pastor and part of my prayer for this ministry is to be a cheerleader to you, to be an encourager to you, to be a positive influence in your life. Not somebody who'll drag you down, not somebody who'll beat you up, not somebody who'll manipulate you for a few bucks, none of those things. To be a source of encouragement. Are you a source of encouragement to the people around you? Because that's what Jesus is. He is our cheerleader. And when you light the light of Christ's peace to shine from your heart, the darkness of anger, bitterness, resentment, greed, and jealousy will give way to that light. And those are your responsibilities. I'll sum it up by reading to you 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. Follow along with me up there. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. This then is the message. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that we love God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, it cleanses us from all sin. Amen? So be the light of Jesus Christ today. Because I want to tell you something. People in your life need a positive light. People need you to be a lover. People need you to be a cheerleader. People need you to be positive. They need to see that in you, being a Christian works. Christmas lights. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.